All right, today we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. We're going to be talking as well about music production, what it's like to produce music, and also to be an artist themselves. So we got some special guests today. I'm looking forward to today's show.
It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
All right, what's happening? This is Mauricio Mejia Live. This is episode number 7, season number 3. And today I have the honors of having two local celebrities. We're going to call you guys local celebrities, the local twins. We got Carlos and Beto in here.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah. You guys are going to have to help me on pronouncing the stage name here, because it's like, okay. I feel like I'm reading something backwards when I'm reading it.
That's exactly it.
And it probably is. I haven't figured it out. But guys, welcome to the show. Thank you for making the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're definitely, there's a lot we're going to have a good time talking about, because there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing this year together.
And super excited about that.
But before we do all of that, we want to jump into the journey of where it all started. Yeah, no, we're going to go way back to when you were kids and shit like that. I want to know, well, part of the show is about being an entrepreneur and or having the entrepreneurial spirit. And that is something that when we first started talking, right off the bat, one, doing events is an entrepreneur. Anybody that decides they want to jump off the cliff and go do a party or do an event or get into that world is crazy, because it's a big risk, right?
And with that
big risk comes big rewards if we make it big. So
of course.
Anyhow, I know that we sat down and we talked a couple of weeks ago, and you guys shared a pretty interesting journey. You guys, well, I'm going to let you share the story. So tell me, your parents, obviously, you guys are very a family, a close family, I love that about you guys. So I want you guys to share some of that, and then we'll dive into the other parts of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to start?
Yeah, I can start off, man. So like,
yeah, flip a coin. By the way, you guys are seriously super identical twins and shit here. You know, this is like, you know, normally I have twin friends. There's only one other pair of twins that I know that are like super identical. Yeah. And they're DJs too. So the way. But yeah, go for it. Beto, start with us.
All right, man. Well, let's see. Let me go all the way back as far as I can remember. But like, starting off here.
Fuck, we need some tequila for that now, right?
Yeah.
Two shots right now.
So it's parents came by from Peru, first gen here, family, born here. So, you know, anytime parents come from a different country, they want the best for the kids.
Yeah.
Whether it's a doctor, construction worker, engineer, anything, really. So first off, starting off in a Latino household, music, sometimes when you come back from your family, just all construction workers, right? They're looking at you weird, like, yo, I worked my ass off here. Like, I'm coming here. My son's going to do really well. I want the best for them. And then music happened, which kind of looked at my parents. They looked at us funny. I was like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, this isn't what I imagined my sons were going to do. And little by little, my dad showed me, like, exactly, like, what hard work is. He brought us over, took us to the family construction business. Started cleaning floors every day, every night.
How old were you when you started working on the job sites?
As young as like 9, 10. Like I wasn't big enough to like pick up the wood or anything, but like I would pick up the nails and sweep and he'll keep us busy.
Yeah, right? that's busy work. That's the shit to keep you out of trouble. That's keep an eye on you while you're doing something constructive, right?
No, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I have a similar upbringing, so I know.
Yeah, no, you get it.
Yeah.
So he taught us the whole trade, you know. By the age of 16, we really got like, okay, we know how to put up a wall, we know how to do sheetrock. I just asked him, hey, Dad, how do you do this? How do you do that? Showed us. It was great. And then once we hit 18, we started really getting put to work. We did construction. We did concrete landscaping. 100-degree weather. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. And what area were you guys at when you guys were doing the construction? When you guys moved to the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Were they here in the Bay Area when it all happened?
Yeah, yeah. So we were born. I was born in SF, San Francisco, by Bay Point. It's just like a small McDonald's and a whole bunch of factories, and then there's like our little house.
Okay.
So we just worked around San Francisco as far as like Marysville, anywhere there was work.
Got it.
That's where they would go. But
So your dad started teaching you work ethic at a young age.
Super young.
And then you guys come out with fucking music. You guys come out of left field with music, huh, guys? How did that happen? I mean, how did that all start?
That all started like in Peru. Coming like we're Peruvian. Mom and dad are Cusco and Lima.
Okay.
And it's like a very rich culture and like dance and like just your roots, right? So like they would, when we were little, even though we were doing all the construction, going to school, making sure we're out of trouble.
Right.
They would put us into like dance classes, like folklorical dance and just like anything, like tap dancing. Oh, we didn't do tap dancing. My older brothers did, but they would put us in pretty much anything.
Your older brothers probably did ballet dancing too.
They did. Yeah, yeah.
They did. I was talking shit, but all right. All right, ballet. No. Okay.
He definitely did.
Yeah, the dance is the arts. It doesn't matter. It's the arts. Okay.
So from like a young age, we were just always into like
fine arts.
Fine arts, yeah, whether it's dancing, music, anything, right? So that, as a young age, that's like where we got performing from. Mm-hmm. And as we grew, that like little creative outlet that we had growing up, or it was like, I wouldn't say forced, but it was, they were just like, yo, you guys got to do something. Soccer, wasn't good at that.
Yeah.
Dancing, I could do that. Music, yeah, I like that a lot. So, you know, as we grew up, we were band nerds, like just any type of music, like jazz, classical.
Samba.
Anything that you could play an instrument, we would play.
Nice.
So we just grew up from like elementary to middle school. And then, like, we were knuckleheads around middle school and high school, so my parents put us into this youth program called Youth for Peace.
Okay.
And it was basically for troubled teens, and they taught you how to produce. And then the idea of being a DJ actually came from that.
Oh, wow. Okay. And this was in San Francisco?
No, this was in Hayward. Okay. It was called Studio 92. It was right off of 92, the bridge. Okay. And, shout out Margaret and Rashid. They were, like, the ones that gave us the ideas of, you know, becoming like, oh, you can produce music. Like, it's not just something I thought you needed a lot of money to do.
Yeah.
But now as technology changes and things become more accessible,
it showed us another way. You know, it was cool because it kept us out of doing, like, stupid things. In the street. Coming from, like, you know, a neighborhood that's not so, like, okay to walk out at night or, like, get home safe and everything like that. It gave us an opportunity to kind of, like, yo, you guys, do something productive. You guys have been around music your whole life. Like,
yeah.
Tap into that. I was like, you know what, Carlos? Like, we didn't really think about it until, like, what, maybe high school, senior year? Right?
Yeah. I would say high school. Like, anything that we could DJ without an ID. Like, this was, so, it was like, for a high school, middle school, that's like when we started dabbling into, like, 2009. Music, did all of that, graduated, went to high school. We're still in the program. So throughout this whole time, we were in, like, a music program.
Nice.
Then we got into, like, a multimedia academy, taught us, like, how to use a camera, how to work sound and stuff. And the turning point for my dad to really buy into, like, us being DJs or just musicians in general was our music program was getting defunded. It was, like, a big thing. We were, like, well, kind of sucks for the kids that aren't going to have music, like, as an option or as an elective.
Yeah.
So my brother's like, there's this guy named Rick Richards. He did this program called Playing with the Masters. Okay. And he would always invite like a whole bunch of professional musicians to come and give like a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got Tony Tone Tone. We had
Sheila E. come in.
Yeah.
Victoria Theodore, who's the keyboardist for Stevie Wonder's.
Okay.
Like there is like all these people coming in and talking to a whole bunch of like middle school, high school students.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know what? What would be hella cool? And like, I know my dad growing up was like a very big Carlos Santana fan.
Nice.
So using our multimedia skills that we learned in high school, we made this little video. My brother actually said, oh, why don't we get Carlos Santana to come and maybe he can like donate some money to save the program. And Rick Richards knew Rita Orta, who was like the manager for Carlos Santana at the time. Mm-hmm. Right? I think still is, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So We shot it. We didn't really think much of it. We were just kind of like, oh, this is cool. It's like little high school kids talking about something that's probably never going to happen.
Yeah, it was like a Hail Mary for sure. Like, We didn't.
Santana's a superstar, man.
No, I mean, he's super dope.
Yeah.
Super
dope.
Just,
global
just,
artist.
Yeah, just having him like be able to watch the video, somehow it got to him, to his office. And he was like, I need to see these guys right now. I need to go to school. I need to save this music program, right? And I was like, it was just a regular day, what, after we filmed it, like maybe a few weeks. And then some guy walks in. He's just like, hey, this is the manager. Rita Ora says, hey, this is, we received your video. And Carlos was really touched about it. Like, he wants to help you guys out.
Oh, wow.
I was yeah. like, what?
So he came and it quickly spread throughout the classroom. Like, it was just us, our jazz group. Like, it was like a handful of kids, right? Everyone's like super talented in there. And they were like, okay, I guess Carlos Santana's coming. Like, it's yeah. a real thing. Him, his wife, Cindy Blackman, came. And Rita Orta came. They donated like all new percussions to all the students.
Wow.
They're like, yeah, it was dope. And they cut a check that saved the program. So
it was for like most schools in Alameda too.
Wow.
It was like Saliandro, East Bay, right?
Yeah, it was like Saliandro Unified School District. So
yeah.
It spread. But
do you guys still communicate with him in the group or anybody?
I have like their contact for the right time.
Right.
But
for when that right moment comes in that time.
When that right moment comes, yeah. So
I did something with his son, Salvador.
Oh, yeah,
back
yeah.
in 2014, oh, nice. Salvador Santana. And that kid is talented. Talented, yeah. So him and I worked together back then. But that's, again.
That was at, like, high school. So we were probably, like, around, what, 16, 17 at the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, around that time. And we played a lot of instruments, trumpet, saxophone, everything.
Guitar, anything you could think of, brass. Bass and piano, like that was just what we did. Like,
nice.
Instead of all the other electives, I had like four music classes, and
it was funny because we never really thought about music that big until we were like, "Yo, we could really make something of this."
Right.
So the turning point was Carlos Santana comes, saves the school district's music program and everything, and we collaborated with all the students, me and my brother, and we wanted to do. From that day, it just hit like an idea, like a light bulb just struck us. It was like, yo, we want to do music for the rest of our life. What can we do to keep going?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
when we were like, okay, I could play this instrument. We're just finding our calling. Then we ran into a turntable, and we were like,
oh, you got to. I was gonna say, let me just go back to the Santana real quick. Like, the turning point for us was like being able to see my dad like in the crowd, like. Carlos Santana is, like, one of his favorite artists.
So oh, man.
For him to see, like, his son, like, jamming out.
Yeah.
Like,
with Carlos Santana?
Yeah, that wasn't planned either. That was, like, my brother's like, you know what? I'm going to ask this dude to. I remember they specifically told us, hey, he's just going to come. He's going to, like, talk to the students.
Yeah.
No one asked him for
anything. Nobody.
No, yeah. Nobody
don't,
asked
don't
him
ask
for
shit. Stupid shit.
Yeah.
Nobody asked him for shit because he's already saving the program. We don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then my brother comes out of nowhere. He's like, hey, would you play for us? Like, we got a guitar and everything.
Oh,
and my music
man.
Teacher was looking at me like,
is that?
Santana's like a cool guy. He's very interesting. Like, he told me, like, you don't really need to go to school to learn music.
Right.
This is like the first idea of entrepreneurship, right? Like, they don't teach you how to like do stuff. Like, you just either do it and you learn from it and you keep going, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with music. Like,
you figure it out.
You figure it out.
Oof.
You keep going. Yeah. And he was telling me the most important thing about music, and every single legend, whether it's like turntablist, like DJ Qbert, like one of the best scratch DJs in the game, or like Santana, one of the best rock and roll
legends,
guitarists.
Yeah.
They all have something in common. And one of them is, like, once you get to a certain level in your career or, like, passion of, like, your craft, you start looking into things very deep. So, like, when we're in the crowd talking, Santana's telling us, like, some really deep things, like, about, like, music is there to heal you.
Yeah.
What you do is, like, musicians heal people. Music heals people. You're healers. And it started getting really deep. And, you know, me being a teenager at the time, I'm, like, kind of went over my head a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And then I started meeting, like, other people, like, and this goes, okay, so after high school, that was all the high school, like, era. Then we went into Youth for Peace program, had certain people in something called KCRH.
Okay.
Which is
at KCRH Chiboka. is a call sign. It's a call letters for
yeah,
a
Yeah, call
station.
Letters, yeah. KCRH 89.9
there you go.
FM, the East Bay's best variety.
Okay.
Is what the whole thing was. It was a college program. But it had an FM dial, so it was pretty interesting. And a lot of the mentors that we had at Student 92
was also a part of this program. It was just college radio at Chabot College.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone there, man, you met people that were like, yo, I want to be a DJ, I want to be a talk show host. And all those people that we used to hang out with at that station are now currently, like, running stuff at, like, 99.7.
They're doing stuff. They're making they're making moves, man.
Yeah, yeah. All the people we met, like, shout out Big Reed. Like, he's over there at 99.7 as, like, the nighttime taco show host.
Yeah.
And, like, I connected with a lot of DJs that way. So just trying to get my stripes, getting into the game early. That's, like, how we started.
Yeah.
And then things started to really ramp up after college. Like,
man, we were just DJing left and right and then getting into college radio. Also got the attention of other stations, and they're like, yo, like, join the big leagues, come over here. Yeah. There's a moment where me and my brothers were both, he went to another station.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
I went to another station too, so I went to Bonneville, he went to iHeart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. I was at KMEL, Rick Lee vouched for me, he got me in there.
Okay.
And
I know Rick Lee. Shout out to Rick Lee.
Big Vaughn, all those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, that's how I started. But I got connected with Rick Lee and, like, really introduced to the game when I met DJ Qbert.
Okay.
So I was in college radio. We had this thing called the College Drop Show.
Okay.
And we were just interviewing people. And DJ Qbert was one of the people I reached out through DMs, and I was like, hey, we'd like to interview you. You know, we want you to come in, scratch for us, or do something. Like, we want a guest DJ. We had, like, a little live DJ booth. I saw a DJ booth here too.
Well, we're building we're gonna build a DJ booth in the room next door. So funny, you guys are already talking about studios. Studio B, the meaning of Studio B, right? There's always the on-air studio, the main air on-air studio, and then Studio B is always where the DJs and all the music's done.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how we came up with Studio B because of...
I like the name.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, well, it was a collaboration in here. The funny part was, again, my background in radio, right? I've shared with you guys. At a young age, I started at Power 106 in LA. I was a street team.
Yeah.
Then I moved to the Bay, street team at Wild 107. You guys were probably just kids.
No, I was a baby.
At that time, there was a lot of the radio wars were going on.
It was a big thing.
Yeah, KMEL and Wild 107 were like rivals. I mean, they were doing like garbage dump, trying to find the playlist out of the garbage dumps. I mean, it was pretty. Chewy Gomez, Man Cow were on Wild 107.
That was crazy, guys.
On the Bay Bridge when they shut it down.
Yeah, so radio back in the day when Michael Martin was just the music director, Bob Vysotsky was the general manager, Bob Hamilton was the music program director.
No, those names are to this day, those names are always dropped in conversations, and it's very important to know, like, the history of stuff because you just need to know what's up.
Yeah, no, you do. And I got my share in music in radio. I was a part of a part of a high school station. Yeah. I wanted to be an on air personality at one point because I just thought I wanted to be that's the shit, cool. Right? Yeah, it was just cool, right?
Hear your voice and shit.
I wanted to somehow be a star or a version of it, but I took on a different path and I loved what I did for 25 plus years, entertainment, coordinating, orchestrating.
Yeah.
So while you guys are playing the music, there's always someone that's coordinating and orchestrating as well. So
yes, sir. This is just as important, if not more important, to be honest.
It all comes together, right? And we all come and we come together and we do magic together, right? So I remember in my young career when I was the promoter and I teamed up and I shared the story with you guys.
Yeah.
David Garcia, who was also from Power 106 in LA, he was the first DJ that won the Power Tools Mix Show with Richard Vision and Tony B. And then he moved to the Bay Area because he went to Cal Berkeley. And LA always tries to attract LA, right? So we're always trying to find our homies in the Bay, right? So it's like we threw the bat sign up and said, like, hey, where are you guys? Where are you? And David and I connected through a mutual friend, and we started to talk. And same thing, I wanted to be the promoter. He wanted to be the orchestrator of the music. He wanted to take people on the journey.
Yeah,
I just wanted to bring people together. So, and that partnership just flourished, and we became very, very successful at a young age. I mean, I was going to college and I was already driving a $100,000 car. I had money in my pocket. I was because it's a cash business, right?
Yeah,
and
it's all cash and, business.
And then we keep thinking that it's forever and ever, but in those moments, right, you get to live these little short periods of fame.
Yeah.
And you can do them multiple times in nightlife because you never know when the next party's gonna hit. So
Yeah. No, it's quick.
Yeah.
It happens quick.
So we got to I got to enjoy that and I see where this is developing with us too. I mean, got to give a shout out my boy Clayton who introduced us.
Yeah, no shout out to
that. Clayton is my boy and it's the same thing with him. We're trying to work out some things where, you know, how he could be the curator of music and I could be the promoter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in that introduction, that's how I got to meet you guys. And I said, hey, I saw talent and we kept in touch. And what is it now? Like 2 years later, we're now finally, if all goes well, we're going to be putting together one of the largest college fest parties.
Yeah. No,
in Silicon Valley, if not in the Bay Area, because there isn't really anything that has targeted
this side.
And one, the South Bay, two, the college market. I mean, the last time that something like that happened, I did a party. I have it framed, actually. It was called Unity 96.
Unity 96.
Like 1996. That. We did it in a year. So in 1996, we brought in a bunch of San Jose State fraternities and sororities together.
Yeah.
And we did this big party at the Fairmont Hotel. And we literally had like 2,000 people. It was sold out. And we had a line. The fire department came.
That's wild.
Fire department came and had to threatened to shut us down if we couldn't kill the line.
Damn.
But we couldn't. I mean, we're just like.
The party's going.
It's the party's going and we can't tell people to leave because they're waiting in line. And if you tell them to leave or you shut things down.
They're going to get mad
and shit happens that way, right?
Angry mob,
right? Angry mob syndrome. So you guys got into music, into radio, but you guys have produced music. I've seen some of your stuff that you put out there.
Talk
to us about that journey in music production, because that's a grind, guys.
No, it's tough, man.
For creating music is like playing the lottery, right?
Yeah, it can be discouraging at sometimes.
Like, yeah, but all you need is one hit,
that's
right?
All you
one
need
hit
is
one or
hit.
One hook, and it's game over.
Or the right. To get away from like the DJing and going into like the production talk, like, yeah, before we were DJs, we were producers.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, I still stand by that. So music is something that, like you said, it's like winning the lottery. It can be discouraging at sometimes because you put in so much time and effort to it. And you're like, oh, we put like a couple grand in the music video. We got it mixed and mastered. And you throw it out there. And there's like, what, 200 people listening to it? And you're like, okay.
When is it going to hit? We need that one person that's going to pop it off, right? That's going to hit it to go viral.
Yeah. And just like anything, music, DJing, parties, it's a business.
Yeah.
So the creative side of everything was music production. Like we got lucky with a couple of tracks that we put out that did pretty well. And like we did Trinidad. We did we also did parts of Spain. This song called Amante. With Clayton and Brave Boy, my brother.
That was the first track that really gained like worldwide attention.
Nice.
Like, who's Otip and Sarek? Why did he got a popping song over at Trinidad and Tobago? I'm like, yo, I think we got one, bro.
Yeah,
we gotta
keep
going.
Yeah.
And we started thinking, and Clayton kind of gave me the idea of like thinking more than just local.
Right.
Like, music is worldwide, right?
That's right.
He instilled that into like our minds is like, okay, well, you guys gotta think bigger, like Bay Area stuff's cool.
Yeah.
Like making rap beats and stuff is awesome.
Yeah, you gain local popularity here.
Yeah, local celebrities, right?
Exactly. And what I noticed too, and what really opened our minds was people are so fixed on trying to make it big in their own cities
right.
that sometimes they forget the vision there's a bigger picture behind it.
That's deep right there.
Yeah, no,
that's deep.
You can't think small, because if you think small and you box yourself in from the get,
The best thing to add to what my brother's saying is when you think of a goal, right, you make it there. Okay, I'm big in this city. I'm big in my city. What next? Like, what's your plan of action next after that? It's like, I want to be worldwide. I want to be like Pitbull. I want to be like worldwide names that everyone knows. Michael Jackson. Everyone knows Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, Drake. You say that in any world or like any country, they don't even know the same language, but they know the person you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, they know. Again, music is universal, right?
Exactly. It's a universal language.
Yeah.
It connects us.
It connects everybody. Man, no, you're right. It what you just said right now is something that is deep as far as thinking bigger, right? Yeah. When you think in your own backyard, you're limiting yourself. They always said, it was interesting, I had a mentor of mine that told me one day, he goes, Mauricio, here in Silicon Valley, he was a high-tech inventor.
Yeah.
He invented these robotic hands for Intel that picked up the wafers. So he owned the trademark, the patent on these robotic hands, right?
Yeah.
But in the Bay Area, he was never known, right? But he's a top inventor.
No, definitely.
He would go travel around the world, and he'd say, Mauricio, he goes, I'd land in China, in other countries, and I'd literally come off a plane. They'd roll the red carpets for me and, like,
damn,
treat me like, yeah, like, but he goes, and they didn't know that I had holes on my shoes or something. Like, they just, it was just crazy. And then what he said to me was, he made a comment from the Bible, believe it or not, and he says, you have to be a fisherman of men. And what did it mean was that when you had to leave your area and go fish for men,
yeah,
to teach them the faith, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
make them believers. Well, it's kind of what we do, like, in entertainment, right? We go, what made me successful in the Bay Area? Why? I left L.A. to come to the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that edge. I brought that. I thought bigger, and I was like, oh, man, this is a perfect market for me. I'm taking it, right?
No, yeah. Hands down.
And I dominated because I brought a different mindset, and I was again, thinking bigger. How can I make my expand? And I ran with it. I got lucky, right? But yeah, luck came because I also worked my ass off, right? People say, oh, that luck, it's part luck, yes. But it's also, you got to stay in the game, right?
You got to be ready.
You got to be ready for that moment, right? Like, this kid that just came in today that brought us these snacks, this, you know, he was, he came in and he was ready to, like, to serve. And
yeah,
that
no,
was, and
shot.
And it was his shot. And you don't never know, man. We put him on the show. Next thing, you never know. One of those clips might help him.
Yeah.
You just don't know, but you got to stay ready.
Exactly. And you got to be consistent.
Consistent,
too.
Yes.
That is the number one thing, like, I think consistency is, like, sure, you're like, yeah, the Twins are lucky. Mauricio got lucky, right?
Yeah.
But, like, consistency, dude, I can tell you right now, hands down, there is not a single other DJ that is doing more calls, negotiations, and closing deals than me and my brother.
Okay.
Right,
like,
now.
Like, in general.
We stand by that, too. Anyone wants to complain, y'all can message us.
Yeah. And how do you come up with that? Like, what is it that you guys are doing right now?
This is how I make my money full-time.
Okay.
Like, I'm all in.
There's
full-time
no,
DJ.
There's no plan B, you know? There's only plan A.
Yeah.
It's DJing, music, real estate.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
And that's it. And then throwing parties. Like, you know how profitable throwing parties can be.
Yeah.
Like,
and so it's funny you just said real estate. So again, we have such a common ground here, right? So my goal was always to make money in entertainment and then diversify.
Yes.
And then my diversifying was real estate. So I would say jokingly, I'm like Bruce Wayne during the day and Batman at night, right? So that's how I ran. Like, during the day, it was suited and booted and cutting deals, and then at night, suited. In a darker vibe, but yeah, no, I mean, it was you gotta diversify, stay, and you gotta love them all, right? I mean, if you're doing entertainment and you're also doing other things, it's because there's a bigger reason. There's a
that's good. And like,
what's your father think now these days when he sees you guys? I mean, now.
He's proud. He's happy that his sons are able to stand on their own 2 feet and pay their monthly income, their rent and stuff. And
yeah,
he's happy. And I think as I get more and more my feet into the door of entrepreneurship and just in general, like, understanding how businesses work.
Right.
And how partnerships work, right?
That's right.
So,
that's
like,
right.
If you're the only one winning and your partners are, like, they're getting a little bit of scraps, they're going to leave.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually. So. That's kind of like, I want to say I have 4 mentors, right? Like, Anthony Presents, he taught me the game of, like, how to throw a great party.
Big, like, shout out to Anthony, because he's off the hook, man. There's promoters that I have to, like, go up to them and be like, producers that I have to go give up props, and Anthony's one of them. Anthony Presents has made shit happen in San Francisco. He started out here in San Jose too.
Yeah, when you told me that, yeah. I remember it. Like, he's great. Like, the dude took his time, answered all the questions, and I had a lot of questions.
Yeah, man. Uh-huh. It was funny because one time I was like, all right, bro, I'm going to go DJ. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the office, talk to Ant real quick. finished DJing and come back, he's still talking. I was like, bro.
Yeah, he's like, bro, Anthony's not going to want to fucking hire us if we keep talking to him. But I kept picking his brain, and he was super dope, bro. Like, a lot of people will be like, hey, you should work with this person. You shouldn't work with this person. And honestly, like, Ant's super dope. Always paid me on time. The dude's showed me, like, the game of, like, data, how to do stuff, and how to throw a good party.
Yeah.
And how to be a promoter.
How to be a promoter.
Right, right, right.
Badass promoter.
There you go.
So that's that's one of my mentors. The second one.
He must have read my book or something.
Yeah, I think so, man.
He had a, he had your picture right there.
Though. The godfather of fucking Mauricio. No, no, I learned in the industry that you're only as good as your last party. Period.
That's
there
you go. That's 100%.
Glad you say that.
And for me, it was the minute that I was done with that party, it was like, yeah, great, but fucking the next one was like, it was next week, and I had to be on top of it. So you always have to be beating up those phones. I was always I call it dialing for dollars, right? I'm like, yo, what's up, baby? Are you coming to my party? Or hey, what's up, guys?
You got that phone book?
Yeah, no, I remember logging over 4,000 minutes, about 5,000, 6,000 minutes a month.
Jesus.
And I had the hot, at that time, in back in the day, I had like the biggest plan of minutes.
Yeah.
So 5,000 minutes and then my text messaging and all that, I would always go over on my minutes but I can afford it. So it didn't matter, right? It was part of the business.
Yeah.
And then, what's up? And then I had my influencers, right? There was no social media back there. So I had my influencers. I'd call like the one queen bee that knew all the other little mini queens, right? And
with the right people.
Right, I was cool with the right people. That's right. And then we that's how we got the word out. Or we used to pass out flyers. I used to go to the mall. I used to get dressed up, go to the MAC counter and go flirt. What's up, girls? Go to all the makeup counters at all the malls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, here's a VIP card. Like, you had to because it was one. It was I used to call it a one-on-one combat, right? It was like. Yeah. It's either you or me, and I'm gonna win. So it's how it went down.
Damn. No, that it comes down to like whoever wants it more.
Yeah, how bad do you want it?
How bad do you want it? Like, that's dude, right. Like I get it's the one thing that I notice I do is I get obsessed with like certain things because I want things to be as good as possible, right? Like I don't want to lose anyone money.
Right.
I want to make sure that my last party is good.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, dude, me and my brother threw so many events. Probably last year we threw, I want to say, like over 300 events.
Nice.
Yeah.
Per week, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday morning, after hours. Oof. Like, there is like, I'm talking about like six events a day.
Oh, that's
and
hardcore.
And we would split. Like, if we get double booked, like sometimes they're like, oh, like, do you need both the twins?
Yeah.
No, let's split. Let's not even tell him. It's just like double book it.
Yeah, double. Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
We're like, hey, where's your brother? Oh, he's in the studio. He's busy.
Yeah.
In reality, he's over there DJing at like Salesforce or something. And
nice.
It's just.
SF, San Jose. I was like, wait a minute. How do you guys teleport that quick, man?
Yeah, we're one to turn powers, man. Yeah.
I mean, Mauricio, imagine if you had a twin, dude. I think the world would blow up.
Fuck. Yeah, all I need is one more of me to make shit happen, man, on a different level. But so you talk about four mentors. You got Anthony Presents. Who are the other three people that were influential in your career?
No, very, very influential. I'll start with Kendo. Kendo, the DJ. He's part of this group called Mixterious. Yeah, he's Q-Bert's cousin.
Okay.
But he also books them, and he does, like, the dude's crazy in a good way. Like, he taught me corporate and how to have thick skin. That was, like, the one thing I was lacking going into the game. So
a lot of no's probably.
Yeah,
or
a lot
like,
of no's. Like a lot of like, yo, either you're gonna do it like this, or you can take your stuff and walk. Like, you don't have to say yes to everything, Carlos.
Yeah,
he taught me, like I said, how to have thick skin. So that's my corporate mentor, Kendo. Kendo the DJ. Shout out Kendo. Shout out Mixterious.
Shout out. Yeah, no, Kendo's been like huge in our part and like just showing us the game, like corporate world.
Nice. And just DJing in general. Like, he got us, like, this very nice commercial with Virtual DJ. Put us on the map internationally. It was me, my brother, DJ Mike Cool. This was during the pandemic, so nobody was doing anything. And Kendall's like, hey, yo, you want to... I know you guys have been practicing, like, during the pandemic, which we will go back to because I know the pandemic played a really big part in, like, how we got our...
Start.
Catapulted again.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got us this virtual DJ thing. Like, hey, we're going to fly out my boy Dennis. He's going to come. He's going to film. You guys need to come up with a 3-man routine. You guys got like 24 hours. Nice. Oh shit! Okay, and it's out there. It had got like I want to say like 600-700K views.
Oh nice!
But worldwide.
Yeah.
And then I found out. I'm like, oh, shout out to Kendo because that really put us on the map. Nice. Got us our stripes in the DJ game.
Got it. And then you got two more to go. Who are the other two?
We got two more. We got my tío Cuervo. He's not really related to me, but I tell everyone he is.
Yeah. No.
Cuervo used to run the End Up.
Okay.
With Anthony Presents.
All right. Yeah.
They used to do Sundays.
Yeah.
They were like the dynamic duo, right? So Cuervo, he saw me DJing at Northern Ducks, and he was like, "Yo, you guys like rock stars. Like you guys have potential."
Yeah, your Sunday parties over there. They started. You guys. Somebody was doing these Latin Sunday parties at the End Up, and I figured out it was you guys probably, or the guys that were doing it.
Yeah,
we were definitely influenced. We had influence there. Like we started doing stuff on our own. And then eventually, the End Up ones, I think that's Reggaetonlandia and all of them.
Yeah, well, I know that there was another local DJ from out here, DJ Playboy, that was doing some stuff up there.
Oh, Playboy's, he's dope.
Yeah, he started doing stuff up there, and all of a sudden, I start seeing all these reggaeton parties up there. I'm like, what the? Why is this not in San Jose? Like, why are they going to San Francisco? But I get it. San Jose has had its time, but now it's going through its renaissance again.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be a lot of great things. Again, that's how we're all getting together now because we're gonna reignite some of the things that could be here that will be here. Just by us working together. So.
No, I'm excited for it. I know we're going to make some big waves and people are going to see what's up.
Oh, yeah. No, they're already. It's interesting to see that as we started putting out some, like, I teamed up with those guys out of Sacramento, the This 916 group, right, too.
Yeah.
We're doing the This 408 brand. Even if we just do one party this year.
It'll be cool.
It'll be good, right? Yeah. So right now we put out another little release that says, hey, who do you want to see?
Oh, I saw that.
And then is it Coolidge? Coolidge? What's his name? He's a Latino. He played with Clapton, and apparently he plays a lot of Latin stuff. So he's been hitting, and Clooney has also been. Clooney and Coolidge, I think it is.
Coolidge,
Something like that. All of a sudden, you started seeing all, like, the people just, it started trending. I was like, okay, all right. So
yeah, I saw the comments.
Yeah.
I do my research.
There you go. So what I'm thinking is that as we start to get closer to our thing of releasing what we're going to be doing, you know, we need to start doing some of those little clips. And I know you guys got that talent and the team to do that because we're going to also want to see what the people want to see, right? I mean, I know for a minute we're going to start programming and shoving things down their throat that we want, but at the same time,
gotta see what the people want,
and we gotta produce what they want because then they become our soldiers on the street, right? They become our promoters.
Yeah,
they start telling their friends, and their friends start telling their friends,
and start being like the hottest.
That's right.
Yeah. You gotta be here.
It's FOMO. It's FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. So, and part of what's gonna happen here with us is that, even though that there's a big age gap between us, we're still connected because of the vibe of music, right? The entertainment. And the fact that the conversations that we've had, you guys at a young age have learned the business, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that when we talked about is that you guys realized as much as it was a party, it also became a business.
And that's where we really, really leveled up. And
you had to. I had just this past week, we had a Mellow Man Ace in here and we interviewed him. And he told us about the world, traveling around the world, and I mean, Colombia, all these different countries, and 60,000 person concerts where they're rocking.
That's crazy.
And then eventually what they realize is that it was fun, a lot of fun, but then it comes down to it's a business too, because you're only as good as your last record or your last hit, right?
Exactly, 100%.
So when we started talking about it, what I loved about you guys is the maturity that you guys have in business. Because this industry, this business, has a lot of distractions, right?
A lot of
distractions.
People get lost in the sauce.
That's
man.
Right. So you either have the drugs, the drinking, the females, the money, all of them,
or accessible.
Everything is an excess, right? Because when you get into that lifestyle, depending on what groups you're hanging around with, too, right? Because there's also different groups, different variations.
Yep.
And different cliques. So, I mean, again, you can get lost in that. The fact that when we had that conversation, and I was very upfront with you guys, man, I lived that lifestyle. I can do it 10 times, you guys, and go around. Just it was a crazy time in my life, and I had such a great time. But I also treated my world, my universe, like a business.
Yeah.
And that's what made me make the decision. And like, okay, work ethic, impeccable. Maturity, you guys are got it. Understand the business, we're there. So now is, you know, we talked about it, right? Not only who you're surrounding yourself with and who's your mentors, but who are your business partners, right? Yeah. Or who you decide to partner up with.
Yeah, because that's right? super important. Like right. me and my brother, we really haven't, we're pretty self-efficient when it comes to, like, I have people I can hit up for, like, certain things and specialties and stuff. But business partners, like, I've been, like I told you, right? I've been holding off on connecting until I felt like it was right. Like, I didn't want to waste your time.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, when you reached out, I was like, all right, we're ready now, right? I mean, yeah. And now what we're doing is while we're going through this process it's a process. Mm-hmm. We have to get to understand who's going to do what.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part is that there is no rush. If there's any time, anything that you have to do it requires you to be in a hurry, more than likely it's going to have some hiccups, right? Because you're going to you're going to cut some corners. And what we don't ever want to do is fumble. Now, we're not expecting it to be perfect, but we're also got to cover our bases. Because 100%. When we do events, we're not talking small money. We're talking
pretty
big dollars amounts. For some people, that might be like, whoa, like... Yeah, it's too much. But when you get to the level of events where anything above $50,000 that you're putting at risk, $100,000, fucking $150,000, then you get into the $200,000, then you get into like the big boy leagues, like million-dollar concerts where the talent costs $1 million and then the production costs $1 million. Yeah. The promotion costs $500,000. Now you're at $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. And then you got to think of how many tickets I got to sell.
Per head,
right? And per the average. So that's the beautiful part is that because of all the experience we have, we can say, okay, hey, guys, what are we going to – what kind of event are we going to build? Are we going to build a 1,000, 2,500, 5,000, or 10,000-person venue? That'll give us the ability to see how we're going to cost recover.
Yep.
Because we always got to cover our bases.
Oh, you know, CYA, my guy.
Yeah. Got to cover our bases here because at the end of the day, big risk, big reward – And if we don't cover the basics,
can't do it.
Can't keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like I said, like everything has to be kind of like calculated. Everything has to have, like you said, people have to play their parts. And
that's right.
I think it will work out. I'm confident.
Yeah. It is gonna work. We'll play bumper cars a little bit, right? And anything you're always gonna I call them bumper cars. Everyone, we're gonna try to as much as stay in our lanes, but there's gonna be times where we'll overlap because there's the experience
and the neck weights, right?
Right. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we'll be able to get back into our lanes where we thrive.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to be successful, right? There's a few things that, like I shared with you guys in the beginning, like, look, man, your graphic designs, I obviously have a different eye because I come from a different era, a different time, and I'm going to target a different demographic. If you guys have your ear to the streets right now with these college kids, the college kids have a certain look and vibe that they like. I'm only going to give some of my suggestions, color contrasting or here and there, some verbiage and all that. But I can never get put into that seat because I'm not living in that generation with you guys. But what I can do is then mentor you guys that if we run it this way as a certain, because the formula is the same. Business is business, right?
Yeah.
We know the cost of production, the cost of logistics, cost of marketing. Now we just got to reach, right?
And we got to see what's up.
Yeah. And those are the things, again, that there's that big age difference. I can guess it, but then I'm gambling, right? So the right partnerships are going to have to take place in order to make some of the big things that we want to do happen. So
What partnerships are for, right?
Yeah,
like,
no,
they're
exactly.
supposed to help you like in certain areas that you could – some reinforcements can happen. You
yeah.
know?
I'm
yeah.
good at this. You're good at that. Like, team up.
Yeah. And in certain areas, too, right? We're focusing. Yeah. We want to make the South Bay number one party place in the South Bay. By the end of this year.
I think we can.
Oh, we will. Yeah. We will. We're going to, right now, once we get through this time that we're in right now, these weathers, you know, get these things behind us.
Yeah, the weather is crazy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, it's bananas. And you know what? I don't want people to say it's global warming. This rain has been happening for the last 40 years that I've been. It's just sometimes it gets intense and sometimes it doesn't. This is just part of life. It's the cycle of life. Yep. And right now we need the water, so let it rain.
Come on.
Let it rain so that way we don't hear then the next story, right? The droughts, the droughts, right? It's one fear or the other, right? So, but going back to it, I think that we are going to do some great production together, and I think we're going to continue to do some fun stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the next, what do you guys see your long game is though? As far as, I mean, entertainment is there. I thought it was going to be forever, but I did it for 25 years and I don't want to say I went through a burnout, but what I did go through is I went through, you'll catch economic downturns, right?
Yeah.
And for me, 2008, when real estate and the stock market, the Bay Area took a dive, people started holding their money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I had been doing it for so many years that was a point where the peaks and valleys, it was one of the valleys now. And I'm just like, fuck, man, do I want to continue doing this? I'm at the age that I was at, I was already in my 30s.
Yeah.
And that's young, in my 30s. But I was doing it since I was 15 years old.
So yeah,
hottest nightclub in the Bay, in the South Bay. I had the biggest pool party in the South Bay. Fucking, we were going to Vegas almost every weekend. You know, I mean, it was bananas.
Yeah.
But I knew also that my long game was real estate. But again, I got hit during that downturn. It was like, fuck, what am I going to do next? Right.
Yeah.
And then I dropped out of college, so I don't have a degree. And I remember that moment in my life when I was like, fuck, what am I going to I need a job. And when I thought of a job, my stomach hurt. I was like, fuck.
I don't think I can ever go back to working under someone. Like, I can work as a partner.
Yes.
But I don't ever think I can go on payroll.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. That's not, I'll last for like a month. And then I'll probably quit.
That's crazy because that's as much as I lasted at a job. I did it for 30 days and I didn't even take my check. I let them keep the paycheck. I was like, fuck, I don't even, you guys can keep my paycheck. I'm not interested. It does nothing for me.
No, exactly. It doesn't fulfill anything. Like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, I could be building my own empire.
So what's the long game here for you guys? I mean, obviously, are you guys going to get back into production? You guys are still in production.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that right now production and entertainment are hand in hand for you guys? Or
there's I have two answers to that.
Mm-hmm.
My first answer is like what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
which is I know most of the, and this is just coming from experience from like meeting a lot of successful artists. Whether you're making money off of merch, like, or you have real estate. Every single artist, big-time artist I met, a lot of the times I have real estate investments.
Yep.
And that's where their money comes from.
Yep.
And then the music's kind of like their for-fun thing.
That's right, yeah.
And it's like, and whether you're touring, if you're touring and you're, like, a hot artist at that time, like, the thing about music is, and popularity and just being hot, is it doesn't last forever.
That's right.
So you have to take advantage of when you guys, your momentum's up.
Yep.
Yeah. Start selling
execute,
merch.
Attack, be aggressive, because you're not going to be the most popping DJ for...
forever.
Like, no.
Yeah.
And there's a cap, too. Like, if... this is like... I don't know.
There's some DJs that need to retire, but they're not, they're not fucking... No, but that's okay, man, because they're fucking still making it happen. And some of them are my boys. I'm just
I'm
just talking shit.
You know,
I'm going to get all the fucking comments. Fuck you, Maurice. Like, bro, I'm like, I wasn't talking about you, but hey, I'm asking him, but see? The truth hurts, huh, motherfucker?
So long term will probably be real estate.
Okay.
Take over my dad's business. He's a general contractor. I'm already like in the process of inheriting his license.
Nice.
So definitely going to do that. Any type of money I make off of music or, you know, that's like the financial responsible answer, right?
Right.
And then the other answer that I have is, you know, Diplo does it in a very, like, there's this Mad Descent and Mad Descent block parties, right?
Yep.
You make the music.
Yep.
You throw the party.
Yep.
You curate culture.
That's right.
And you can make that into a really successful business.
Absolutely.
So long-term goals, definitely got the general contracting thing in the back pocket. Going to do that. That's like a no-brainer. Would probably be own a record label, throw your own parties.
Yep.
Which we're doing. And, you know, just kind of rinse and repeat. And
right.
That's what you make the music, throw the party. And you have some type of brand that people can get behind.
Yeah.
That's my goal. And that's like the blueprint that we're following currently right now.
Similar to what I'm doing right now is I built my foundation.
Yeah.
And I went back. Entertainment at one point became so dependent on it, right? That was my everything. And I lost the love at it. I fell out of love with what I loved with, right? But because I was starting to depend so much on it and that was the only way that I knew how to make money because real estate has started to take a dive and all that other stuff. Now that I've turned things around and my foundations are a lot different than mm-hmm. they were back then, I'm going back into that that whole, just that feeling of creativity again, of, right, I want to build and create. And I think that you're right. If we can build, right, a certain brand and then rinse and repeat, right? It could be a once-a-year event, twice-a-year event, or we can do multiple smaller events. There's yeah. a lot of things that are happening now mm-hmm. that I'm going to have influence on, that I'll be able to bring us, build that team, and make these things happen for us. So, yeah. But yeah, no, I'm in agreement, man. It's
yeah, that's the long term goal. Yeah, like my long term goal, and my brothers too. I can speak for us. Is eventually, like, the ultimate goal, is to make it in music.
Yeah,
but like everything, it's a business. Yeah, so with more money that you have, the more stuff you can do.
Right. Yeah. So, pretty much, right?
And you meet the right people in entertainment. It's great. It's a hand in hand thing.
Right, and you got to stay relevant in yes. the industry and the game. Have to. Right,
think you're hot and then you throw a party and no one shows up.
Yeah, no.
Music's always changing, so there's always trends, waves and stuff. Just find your style, your sound, stick to it. Eventually it'll be caught on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about COVID, because we talked about it earlier and you wanted to hit COVID. COVID for me was actually a springboard. Well, it was a two-part thing. 2019, I share with people that it was one of my greatest years. I hit built $100 million company.
Wow.
2020 was supposed to be my billion-dollar company, Latin Life. We had both brands, and it was the largest Latino platform to promote for Latino concerts.
Yeah.
Throughout the United States and eventually global. And for me, when COVID happened, obviously everything imploded at one time. And I had to pivot, right? I had to figure out what I was going to do. What it did do for me, it quieted a lot of the noise, a lot of the distractions, and I had to really have some strong mental toughness because,
yeah,
fuck, I took two big hits back-to-back, literally from 2019 to 2020.
It was bad. Yeah.
But what I did have in my mind was creativity, right? All that quiet. I wrote two books. I'd finished my
smoking. I read them, actually.
Yeah, thank you, by the way. Yeah. So what was your favorite part of the book? Smoke and Mirrors.
Smoke and Mirrors is a good one.
Okay.
I think chapter 3 was my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely, that took me 2 years to write. And when it was 2020, I was thinking, oh man, I'm going to finish these books. And then I wrote my second book, Decide, Commit, Execute. And then when COVID happened, I had no platform to promote. All my speaking engagements canceled, everything. Oh. So then Facebook Live became like the hot shit, right? Yeah. Zoom,
everybody was on
Instagram Live. Everybody started doing that. So I then created Mauricio Mejia Live mm-hmm. and started my YouTube channel, or my somewhat called podcast show.
Yeah, yeah.
And started that. And for the next 2 years, I did Mauricio Mejia Live. I did 60 episodes, 30 per season.
Wow.
And now that, you know, the whole podcast world is like exploding again, right? Everybody's talking about it right now. Yeah. So we brought back Mauricio Mejia Live. We have other shows that we're producing out of Studio B.
Yeah.
But talk to me about COVID, man. What did that do for you guys? Because that was tough on the industry.
Dude, that was really, really, really tough. Like, it was very tough, but it also provided an opportunity for me and my brother to come up. It was a big reset button in the industry.
That's right. Global reset, I called it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big reset. A lot of DJs, they went to Twitch. They started DJing on Twitch and live streaming. Anything they could do, whether it's like throwing parties illegally or like streaming on Twitch or
yeah.
Even Zoom parties. There was even like Zoom. Corporate Zoom parties.
Yeah, yeah, no, I did a few of those. Yeah, I did all of those I did. So illegal parties, Twitch parties,
you know.
Corporate parties.
Anything we do to like get by, right?
Yeah.
And like there was even like social distancing parties where we're DJing, people were in circles and shit. I'm like, damn, like
it was wild.
That shit was crazy.
It was crazy. People wanted to go out.
Yeah. Yeah. So. People were itching to go out, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
They were like, oh, I already got COVID, or hey, like, it's cool, like, it's good, I'm young.
Yeah.
It wasn't the most responsible thing to do, but dude, like, we went from, you remember the time? Tell them, we used to DJ at this, like, karaoke bar called Pandora.
Okay.
And
in San Francisco,
dude,
yep.
The way we found out, like, of course, like, I'm driving back from the city every day, And I see this big ass thing that says like Princess Cruise Ship or whatever. That's where COVID was on, right? Uh-huh. I'm driving back. It's me, my brother. We're driving back from San Francisco. We just did an after hours and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 a.m. We're just driving back.
Oh, God.
Yep. And I see the thing and I just get this weird feeling like, bro, like they were talking about that thing holding COVID. Like, people that have COVID are on that ship.
On that ship, huh?
And like military people like there and they're like trying to contain
helicopters. Yeah, it was wild.
And then like the next day we're DJing downstairs. At the time it was called Club 125.
Okay.
It was something me and my brother were doing where it was just upbeat remixes, house music, and it was popping. But it was underneath a karaoke spot, super like small, but it was packed. Okay. And dude, they came in and they were like, I think it was an inspector, right?
I think there was an inspector to talk to the manager, and then the manager came up to us and was like, guys, gentlemen,
this is the last day we're going to be open. Oh, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, we went from having, like, stable income to having none.
No income.
Yeah, it was such a shock. Like, when they told us, it was like, all right, this is going to blow over, like, next week.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a little invisible germ. It's not going to do shit to me, right?
Yeah.
Nah, dude. Everything. Like, that one, empty. Then all the other clubs we DJ, like we residents at Temple SF, and a couple other clubs, and they were like, "Hey, we're done. All right, guys." Like, woo. And I'm like,
locked
"We're not
out for 2-3 weeks. All right, we'll be back.
We'll be
and
back."
And then they kept extending it.
Yeah, and it's like, "When are we gonna come back? Because I'm running out of money."
Yeah,
and we're not essential workers.
Yeah,
so I was like freaking out because the only thing I knew how to make money DJing was gone.
Yeah.
And like construction didn't stop. So we dabbled in that with my dad and it got us through sometimes, but that was like just enough to pay the bills. Like not even a lot, to be honest. And
at that time too, I know not for just for us, but like DJs in general here in the Bay Area too, a lot of them like either they went to go study something else during the COVID pandemic lockdown or they just sold all their DJ gear. So a lot of DJs came and like they disappeared.
Yeah. Disappeared. And a lot of promoters.
Yeah.
And venues closed.
Right. And that's partly why the South Bay has gone through what it went through now. Yeah. And actually the Bay Area, right?
In general, yeah.
Promoters that either aged out or just couldn't afford it. And then they pivoted.
And they're doing something else
they're
now.
They're doing something.
And they're probably better off doing that.
Yeah.
Props to them. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Or they couldn't, they weren't consistent, right? Because they were... Again, they were not bred for that.
Yeah.
For me, I was just I've just.
Dude, you made it through.
I made it. I powered through it. Actually, for me, I got even more creative, and just made things happen.
So
made things happen, man. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good to hear. Yeah. I know. This is where one of my mentors, the other two mentors, Cuervo. Like I said, during COVID, so that happened. We were on that. EDD came out. People were like, okay, somewhat chilling. Now you're just at home, bored with nothing to do. And construction was just something that me and my brother had. So one of my mentors, Cuervo, he used to do the End Up, Anthony Presents. They used to do Sundays. Like he was like the back end and Anthony was a promoter. So I was introduced to him when I DJed at Northern Ducks. So every Sunday, there was like a LAN party, would go and DJ. And he was like, yo, he's like, you guys have a manager? Like, no, we don't have a manager. He's like, hey, how about like, let's throw some parties? Like, you guys are popping, you guys bring people. I'm like, okay, cool. Fast forward, he was able to get like a bar that closed down. It was next to Cha Cha Cha
on Mission Street.
On Mission Street.
Yeah. All right. I know that. Yeah. I know that area.
So we got it. It's called Yerba Buena.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, you guys want to like buy in? Like, yeah, I know you guys throw some popping parties. Like, what's good? Like, you guys want a percentage? And I'm like, sure, why not? Like, let me buy in with construction. So I went in, helped remodel, do stuff, sweat equity, right?
Yeah.
And at like the age of 25, I was like a bar owner.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's where I really, really got gamed up. That's really where me and my brother matured. Like coming out of COVID, it was opening up. There's restrictions. It was like, oh, only like 60 people can be here. We made it work.
Yeah.
We had it for like a year and a half. They ended up selling it to some developers that are going to make it into like tech high rises.
Yeah.
But within that, like Cuervo, one of my mentors, he taught me how to like really, really like, we worked with like every single promoter
could think of.
You could think of like the Brazilian people throwing the Brazilian funk.
Oh yeah,
like
double, yeah. Double Duca.
B. Yeah, Duca, yeah. All that. Like we had
those parties are wild. The Brazilian parties, man.
Bro, the Bollywood parties are fucking nuts, dude. They're fucking. That's crazy.
They're bananas. No, but yeah. I love the Brazilian ones. When the Brazilian girls come, oh man, it's fucking on,
dude. It's like a community. It's like it's like part of the culture. Right?
That's right.
So they showed up, and like this is where I got really smart with deals, and like understand how different promoters like. Oh, I want 50% of the door. We get a percentage after threshold. This and that. And me, I'm like, I'm just observing just everything, like fly on the wall, listening to like conversations. And these are like DJs that I'm like, they would take off their DJ hat, put on their promoter hat. Or the promoter would come in and they'll start talking game. And I didn't even know like sponsorships could, like people could come in and do bar swipes. And
that was a new thing for us.
That was We're like, wait, what? People can actually like sponsor you and stuff. And I got gamed up.
Yeah.
And that's all because Cuervo, you know, decided to give me a percentage of the, like, it wasn't a lot. It was like 15%, but.
Still something.
He was like, run the night. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's start thinking. Well,
sometimes you have to get thrown into the fire in order
Oh, dude, I was trying to figure it out.
In order to, they say you got to forge, we got to get forged together, right? The iron sharpens iron.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah, so for you guys, you guys had to get thrown into it to learn it. And that's the same similarities, again, that I learned as well. It's until they gave me the freedom to go do and to own and operate.
Yeah,
it's a different world. Now you're listening, right? Because before we were hearing things, right? Oh, but once you're in the game, you got to listen, pay attention.
And you understand.
You got to understand that, hey, what's going down here, so.
And you understand what, like, venue owners want to hear.
Right.
So, like.
The buzzwords
buzzwords, the keywords. Like, bro, if you come in as a DJ, they're just going to treat you as a DJ.
Right.
If you come in knowing like the lingo and everything, they treat you totally different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
and that's like how me and my brother are at where we're at right now. Because,
good. Well, that opened up the conversation with us in order to be able to sit down at the table and talk business.
If I didn't own that, I probably wouldn't be able to communicate properly with you.
Yeah, well, you definitely have some experience and there's a lot of value in what you guys bring to the table. So. Definitely 2024 is going to be a very exciting, very promising year for us.
Yeah.
At least in the South Bay, I know that you guys are still crushing it up in the peninsula in San Francisco and the East Bay. Nothing but good wishes to you guys and continued success, man. And then it feels good to, again, one of the cores on my show is how can I continue to uplift other Latinos, right?
And that's super important.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter what country you're from. We're all Latinos. We're all, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all people, right?
Yes.
And I'm all about helping good people that want to do good business where nobody gets hurt, right?
There you go.
Yeah. If I can influence our community or be a part of the community to lift, let's go. The only thing I ask is I always tell people it's the crab in the bucket syndrome, right? When I help you out, just don't, you know, I hope, right, that you don't throw me back into the bucket of crabs because there's a lot of people that, you know, you give them a helping hand and they just don't understand. They don't understand how to value relationships and it's okay. It's part of their mistakes.
Yeah, it could
and
be.
They'll learn, hopefully. Yeah.
We're,
right?
We're all human. They'll learn. But the big goal is everyone gets out the bucket.
That's right.
Yeah. That's 100%. Like, that's where my dad, my last mentor is probably my pops.
There
like,
you go. I was waiting for number four because you only went to three and number four, I'm
number
like, all
four
right.
Is my dad's my superhero. Like he taught me.
That's awesome, man.
Work ethic. Yeah. And then not just that, but like help people when you can.
Ooh.
Anytime you
can. Like there's a lot of like immigrant workers that work in the company and they got their citizenship and now they're like professionals in certain traits.
Yeah.
And now he's hiring them to do business legitly with like license and taxes and all that, and it was all because he decided to help people out.
It all starts somewhere. Someone gave your parents their break.
They're like the blessing. They like come out here, you know.
They got their break, and then what they did is they developed themselves and went through the process. And then now reciprocated, right? They're paying it forward, or they're it's just part of the cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with me here. If we can help people that if we can do anything to influence and better them and get them to the next level, why not? Why? Because we're hoping that they can also
open the doors,
open up other doors, right? And create other possibilities and opportunities. You never know. You never know, guys.
Yeah. I think that's why we click so well. That kind of stuff you either have or you don't.
Right. That's very true. There's a lot of people that are, they have to go through their pitfalls in life.
Yeah,
I've shared with others. There was a pre-2008 Mauricio, which was fucking. I was just not a very friendly person. I was all about me, and then there was a post-2008 Mauricio who got a taste of humble pie and some real like fucking.
I think we talked about this.
Yeah, some real humble pie, and then that really opened up my eyes to something that I never wanted to be again.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that the more people that I help, the more blessings, the more things come back into my life. So it's just a cycle of life, right? Yeah. So
helping out with like no intent of like, all right, cool, let's see, like I'm gonna give you the ability, and then it's up to you. Like,
yeah,
if you come back, dope. If you don't, helped you out.
Yeah, yeah. Learn. Okay, fucking keep moving. Exactly. And remember too, guys, partnerships. Some will last for a very long time because nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
and some partnerships are just quick partnerships, right? They're lessons to be learned, mm-hmm. seasons, right? They come and go, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not growing in those partnerships, if you're not sharing those partnerships, then that's when the resentment and all the negativity kicks in and then blah, blah, blah. And then
you gotta go like this. It's called horizontal uplifting, right? Like you want not vertically, right? Like if the people, like let's say Mauricio, like your business partners, one business partner is like really, really thriving. The others aren't going to stay.
Yeah.
It's like you have to like all come up. There's enough food for everyone to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All boats rise at rising tides raises all boats. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that, guys. I fucked that one up.
No, but we get it.
You guys understood what I said. Fuck. Anyways, guys, I just want to thank you guys again for making the time to come out here.
Of course.
We can spend hours and hours and hours and just, you know, talk about life and business and all that good stuff. But I do want to say thank you. You guys are definitely at the right place at the right time in what you guys are doing. Enjoy the ride while it lasts, right? Yeah. Because you're not gonna look the way you look forever. You're not gonna be thinking the way you're thinking forever. Because if you're not growing, then you're not doing something right. Right? You don't want to stay in that same place all your life, right?
Yeah, you had to take some chances.
That's right. So and some of them are going to pay off, and some of them you're going to learn your lessons, and some of them are going to cost you dearly. But let's not ever give up. Let's continue to keep pushing forward. I mean, it's part of our DNA.
It's in us. Yeah,
yeah, we're warriors, right? We're there's that warrior blood in us, and that we're never going to give up. So, again, guys, I just want to thank you guys both for being here. I'm looking forward for 2024. Yeah, we got some big events planned out. If we pull off one, that's good enough for me. But I know we're gonna do multiples. I'm just waiting for timing right now.
Yeah.
I got a couple of venues that I'm working on right now that I think we can do some good programming together.
For sure.
And if we pull this shit off, I think we're going to dominate the South because – one of the things, I don't even want to start talking shit because.
One thing I learned for sure is just kind of like let the work speak for itself.
That's right.
And then if your foundation is solid, and you're good and you do business well, no one can stop you.
Exactly.
So. Last but not least, I we didn't even get to it. So how do you guys pronounce the stage name? Because it's something spelled backward.
So Juan Carlos sounded like a quinceanera band or banda DJs too. So. Beto and Carlos backwards is Oteb and Sorak.
Yes. Yeah. I knew it.
So, yeah, Sorak is Carlos backwards, and then Oteb is Beto backwards.
There you go. All right. So I was like, why am I not figuring this shit out? I've seen this before. Someone's done this before. I have a friend. His name is Roberto.
Yeah.
And Otebero, I think it's Otebero. Or Otebero, something backwards, right? Yeah. I was like, fuck, how come I can't get this thing? But cool, man. Well, if anybody wants to get a hold of you guys on social media, what are the social handles that you guys have?
You can find us all on every single social media platform, music platform, as Oteb and Sorak. That's OtebnSolrac.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Confusing one there already. But anyway. All right, guys. Well, thank you again. And I want to, again, thank everyone for watching Mauricio Mejia Live. episode 7. Season number 3. There we go.
Thank you.
Mauricio Mejia Live.